Hey everyone, welcome to The Breakdown. My name is Kurt.
And I'm Luke.
And we are glad to be here today. We're actually here on Wednesday recording, even though you'll hear this at the nighttime.
Wednesday morning.
I love this.
Me too.
You know, I want to say, Luke, I just want to give you a shout out and a clap because you were not here full time all the time. And ever, actually. You're not here full time.
Not
ever.
At all.
And you always make it a point to move around your schedule. You're serving our youth. You're on The Breakdown. You're serving on the worship team. You're serving on the cafe. And yet I don't ever hear you complain. And I mean, I don't know if you complain.
No, I don't. I love it. I do these things because I love it.
Well,
I love the Lord and I love to see what he's doing and being part of it.
And that's kind of beautiful because there are a few of us who are here all the time, and it's so beautiful and wonderful. There's so many people around the building like you who just, they're here, they're happy to serve, and it's wonderful. It's like, wow, this is amazing. It's amazing to see the heart that God has deposited inside of each and every one of us that say, hey, as much as I can, I want to mm-hmm. be there to serve. So
yeah,
I appreciate
that. And I would say everyone... You can examine your life and you'll find ways that you can be doing more and ask the Lord,
yeah.
How could I be doing more?
Yeah.
And our reach goes beyond just this building too. There's opportunities in greenhouses. Getting involved with just the people around you. That's probably, I would say, is the most important way that you can get involved is asking the Lord, who are the people around me that I should be going deep with? And that might just be one or two people. And that's great because it has to be more than just Sunday morning, more than just even a greenhouse night or a Bible study.
Yeah, there really does have to be. I was actually meditating on this over the weekend myself. And one of our values is we are a spiritual family.
Yes.
And there really does have to be that sense of we're not just gathering on a Sunday. We're not just gathering in a greenhouse, although the greenhouse is a great next step mm-hmm. or whatever small group
They're
you're a part
important.
Of. But we are family and we can't be afraid to be family. You know, I think it's so challenging sometimes because of family experience or because of friend experience. We are all so many times like walking around with a little bit of like trepidation, but to know that we've been placed in a family, in a spiritual family, mm-hmm. and we can walk together. It's actually super helpful. It's actually really wonderful to know like, oh, I have a band of brothers, a band of sisters. I have family around me that's ready to support me.
Yeah, well, I think it's in Hebrews where the writer talks about you're being built into a spiritual house.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That is in Hebrews.
I don't know. You know, Peter talks about it as well.
Okay,
with the
then
living
maybe,
stones.
Then maybe, yes. Living... All right. That is Peter. It's Peter.
Okay, yeah.
It just seemed very Hebrewish.
This
you know?
Is great, dude.
but you are being built into a spiritual house. And again, it's this idea of, you know, a physical illustration, but being used to bring out a spiritual reality.
Yeah.
Where we're being built together. And a house can only stand if those stones are, you know, stuck together.
Yeah.
They can't just be separate. And it's a reality that even on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we are still stuck together as a spiritual family, not just when we come into this building, some might think, oh, that's the spiritual house, the church. And it's like, yes, but the spiritual house are the people because the church is the people.
Mm-hmm. You know, Luke, we are living in a culture, you're bringing this up here, or we're talking about this, and it's got me into, even before we get into the message, it's got me into this concept that we hear a lot about church hurt. And coming here and seeing that one of our values is we're a part of a spiritual family, it actually really solidified some things for me, is that rather than pulling away when I get hurt, just mm-hmm. like I'm not going to pull away from my family,
yeah,
I'm going to press in because there's a healing to be had. There's a reconciliation mm-hmm. and a restoration. And I think so many of us, and this is a really good lesson, so many of us, we come from maybe a broken, I'm going to say loosely, church experience. And so we come in and we may have a hiccup. We may have something, a misunderstanding, miscommunication, the busyness of it all mm-hmm. on a Sunday now, you know? And what's really important is to deal with the issue as it arises and not to let things fester, but to just...
Absolutely, yeah.
Because in a family, you can't. You can't let it fester.
No,
there's no,
no you
room.
Cannot.
There's no time.
You cannot. And then also, this is something that I was thinking about this week, because you catch this in the heart of what, you know, Pastor Zach and Ashley and our leadership say a lot of the times, where you'll hear a lot of times, like, they'll mention not just about our church, but about New England. And I think that one of the signs of health as you grow here and as you, you know, you come into your calling as a son and daughter of God is you're going to find that your heart actually starts to care about the other churches around us and that they also come into health. Because it's not just about our one church. If it, you know, like it, that, that's not what we read in the Bible,
it's
right?
So true.
So as you grow and become healthy as a believer and you walk out your calling, you may start to feel that your heart goes, other churches come to mind and pray about them and ask that the Lord keeps them healthy in their specific assignment. You know, so but that's a sign of health that when you get to that point.
It is really true. That's an excellent point, because I would say that over the past several years, I even recently just went out with a former affiliate, who's still an affiliate rather, but somebody I was really charging forward with, you know, where I came from. And we just had such a great time sitting there talking and dialoguing. And this is, now we've gone out several times. And it's been really wonderful to make those connections. And I believe it is a sign of health on both parts to be able to say, hey, listen, I know that you're worshiping over there now and I'm worshiping over here and we are still brothers.
Because it's the same move of God.
It is. It is. And I love what you're bringing up here, how important it is that we see, especially as the day grows close, that if we go to Pastor Zach's message on Sunday, we're not even allowing room for offense
no,
in our heart.
Not at all.
In the dark spaces, in
not
the cavern.
All.
We're not
yep.
allowing room for that. So yep. it can take some time to work out these situations. It takes a while to process. But just being open, I would say that it's one of the greater lessons I've learned from being here, that we value what this move is, what we are as a family of God. And so that means that we're going to work it out.
Yeah.
We're going to do everything, like Paul says, do everything within your power. See to it that you try to live peaceably among all men, at least as it concerns you.
Oh, yeah. And Paul and the writers especially focus on our role towards others who are of the family
That's right.
of faith.
That's right.
So it's not even saying of your local church.
Yeah.
It's of the family of faith.
That's true.
So we have an obligation to one another to support one another.
I love it. I really do. I love the environment. There's no competition here. It's been truly amazing just to watch. So that brings us into, again, even before we get to the message, this brings us into the posing question or the question you posed to me just before we got on the air. And I said, whoa, just be quiet. I'm going to hit the mic. Don't say it. Ask it again now.
Yeah, I was just asking Pastor Kurt, so what is next? What is next for us? Because I think the temptation for a lot of people is, okay, so we've been gearing up for this building project and now we're in the new space. And is this the end? I would say no.
Yeah.
And I think that is actually something that we have to come to in our heart where this is not the end.
Yeah.
Because the move of God continues to grow and expand, and we ought to always be sensitive to, so Lord, like, what are you doing? What would you have us do next?
Yeah.
How is this going to grow and change?
It's interesting you raise that question, because really all that's transpired is we have a larger room available to us. And I don't mean to sound, you know, kind of diminish what's going on here, but the ministries at large are constantly asking the Lord, what are you doing? What are you saying? And even among this fivefold, among this team, there's lots of vision bursting forth that has been for a long time. So even though it's great because you say, hey, well, what's next? Well, God has already been stirring and so many different people about what he has to do, whether it's, you know, hearing from Kim, who's talked about on the Outreach podcast and in private, she's talked about what God is doing to expand, you know, foster care and adoption and the health ministry, all these different things. Or Pastor John, like praying into for a couple years now, a house of prayer where we're having the regular prayer here. You know, there was a prophecy I heard years ago, and it was from a man. He actually said that, hey, he was talking to a specific church, but I just thought it was really awesome. He said, there will come a time when this place is open for 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
And now being here, I'm like, oh, wow, this is totally the place that could be open 24 hours a day.
Absolutely.
And so I think it's just, there's no end in sight, and it's not about conquering more.
No.
But the kingdom of our God is coming through us.
Yeah.
So we're not just praying your kingdom come, your will be done, but we are the vessels through which the Lord is establishing his kingdom. Mm-hmm. And whatever he tells us to go run after, that is what I love about watching our pastors here and our elders. It's like, the Lord said it, go after it and get it. Mm-hmm. There is no, if, as long as the Lord said it, you know, and you see this and you read through the Kings and the Chronicles and First and Second Samuel, and you see that there were times where the kings just went out to battle and it cost them because they didn't ask the Lord. There were times that the Lord said, you're going to go out after this. And there were times that they sought the Lord.
Yeah.
And every time that the Lord was with them, they would win. And I think what I love, what's a distinctive here is that we are not trying to chase down anything that's not the Lord.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I think it's really important that we go after that spirit of complacency of having arrived, that the enemy is going to want to try to plant in our hearts.
Wow.
Because I've been thinking about, you know, like David in the Old Testament, how does the story of his demise with Bathsheba start? It says, at the time when the kings went out to war, David stayed home in his palace.
Yes. Good point.
So he had reached this point of arrival. I'm good. I'm the king. You know, I've done all that. I did Goliath. The Lord used me, and now I'm here.
Yeah. Wow.
And it's important that we remember, no, we are still in a battle, and there's still a calling. There's still a pressing that comes in us and then also through us that we have to take hold of and go with.
Yeah.
Because as soon as we get complacent, and then that's where our mind starts to wander. That's when we start to become, you know, fat. That's when we start to get lazy.
Yeah.
And we become ineffective.
You know, I love that you're bringing this up. It's what we term affectionately at School of the Spirit, the POA, is like you said, the point of arrival.
Yeah.
If we have a place in our heart where it's like we have a dream and then that's it. Once we arrive, if we're not open to the Lord, if we're not hearing from the Lord and getting our direction and our marching orders regularly from him, we will fall into that place of complacency, because you see it all throughout the scripture. You know, you're talking, and I'm even thinking about that ruler who just had so much grain. You know, he didn't know what to do with it. He put up his storehouses, filled it up, sat back and said, oh, I'm just going to enjoy myself. The Lord says, you fool, tonight your life is required of you. And there has to be this place in us that says, whoa, whoa, whoa. Although we have come to the next threshold or we've come to the next summit, doesn't mean that there aren't more valleys that the Lord wants to take us through and more summits he wants to get us on.
Because the point of arrival is heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So until you die and get to heaven, you have not arrived.
Yes, this is good. This is really good. I think about the children of Israel, you know, having just come a few months ago from the reading of how quickly we often tend to think like Adam and Eve, who knows how long they were in the garden. I actually don't think it was very long, because the human nature will constantly just move into that position. And I think the children of Israel getting into their promised land, it didn't take long for them to get caught up. And this is what the Lord says, be careful when you enter that land, lest you think your wisdom and the strength of your hand brought you this, for it is the Lord who gives you power to create, generate wealth. Mm-hmm. And I love that you're kind of charging us with this morning to not fall into complacency, to not think, okay, we've arrived, but to just keep our ear to the ground, our heart to the Lord, and say, what are you saying? What are you doing?
Yeah. And I really think this provides like a good base for us to talk about the message. Mm.
That's awesome. So, sorry, I've been thoroughly enjoying this coffee all morning. I'm not sure if you're hanging on the mic here, but
I'm having coffee too.
Yeah, so. I know. It's great. So, Pastor Zach had us in Nehemiah. Interestingly enough, coming into the weekend, my studies were in Ezra. I knew that Nehemiah was around the corner. And Pastor Zach really has talked. He said it on Sunday. He loves the study of Ezra and Nehemiah. Nehemiah, missed my Rhode Island right there. Nehemiah, Ezra and Nehemiah. Oh, that's Rhode Island, funny. You come back to me sometimes. So he had us in Nehemiah 13, and we're picking up on a very interesting passage here. But if we just start from the inner realm and moving outward, Pastor Zach made the real remarkable point that the temple has now been rebuilt. It's been established, and the walls are being shored up and secured. And as we find ourselves moving forward here, Pastor Zach was likening, especially in our New Testament theology, Pastor Zach was likening the temple to our heart and to the walls as our life.
Yeah.
And if you can catch that, this is really, really good, because there's two things that need to happen here. Number one, when you jump into Nehemiah, you see that Nehemiah arrives and he actually is taking time to travel through, see where the fractures are. He's going to focus on the rebuilding. And now you've got Sanballat and you've got Tobiah who are harassing Nehemiah and the rest of the Jews so that they can't do their work. In fact, one of the passages Pastor Zach has quoted and taught from so much, we find here in Nehemiah early on where they're saying that, okay, these folks were coming out against them to attack them, so much so that they actually had to create groups who were working on the walls and groups who were actually standing guard. And even those who were working on the walls were doing so with one plow, you know, in their hand and one sword in the other hand. Like they were working and they were ready to battle at any moment.
Yep.
And I want to bring this up because before we get into what Pastor Zach talks about with the inner realm, the inner sanctum of the heart, the temple, I want to look to the outskirts here at our life and say, this is where we can get worn out.
Yes.
When we're building the walls of protection in our life and we're doing so, we've got, you know, the mason work in one hand and we've got the sword in the other. And I do believe in this particular hour with everything that's going on, this may be once again where we find ourselves.
Yes. I think that's just the reality.
Yeah.
And you see that pattern all throughout the Old Testament, the New Testament, Jesus's teachings, the teachings of Paul. It's at one point, on one hand, it's building, be at peace with people, work, you know, make your life. But then on the other hand, it's be aware, you know, lest the enemy come in.
Yeah.
Be aware of what he's doing. This is a spiritual battle at the same time that it's you're building and you're working for peace.
Yes.
So there is that tension that we live in. And I think the danger is when we drift into one of those a little more than the other. So it's learning to work with both.
That's good. I do find too myself that that's where I can actually become the most worn out and the most tired. So we're taught in New Testament realities that there is no striving, right? When it comes to our salvation, there's no striving.
Right.
There remains the only striving we're supposed to do, according to what's written in Hebrews, is to strive to enter the rest, because there remains a rest for the people of God. Jesus said, his yoke is easy, his burden is light.
Yeah.
And he's talking about the religious pressures to find that place of peace with the Lord. But what we do so often is, like, even though we've already been justified by faith and have peace with God, according to Romans 5:1, we still move into this place where we're really fighting. Mm-hmm. We're really fighting to maintain that peace and maintain that place of victory. And there is sort of a sweet spot. And I think, like you said, we can lean in heavily to one side or the other. There's a sweet spot, and it's important, like, if you read early on in Nehemiah, it talks about how they would change the guard, in essence. You have to have relief from that place of tension.
Absolutely, absolutely. And two things that I know help me personally is first remembering, okay, Jesus is the one who broke down the middle wall. Mm. He's the one who brought peace.
Mm.
And then Jesus is the one who won the victory. Yeah. So I do it as a representative of Jesus. I live as a representative of Jesus. And then as I'm working here, you know, like building the wall of peace, and then also, like, you know, keeping my sword ready.
Yeah.
I have to remind myself, I'm not doing this by myself.
Right, right.
There's other people doing this with me.
Mm-hmm.
Because the danger is you start to think it's just you that feels this tension or this turmoil. And the enemy wants you to think that.
Sure does.
Because now you've isolated and you've pulled away from the spiritual family that we talked about. So it's important that we understand that we're all doing this together. And then we can cover for one another, because there may be times where maybe I'm feeling the spiritual battle more, but you're feeling the peace.
Jesus,
well, we can then impart to one another, and then, you know, keep each other both aware, and we grow closer in that. But again, it's not that we are the ones that are bringing the peace or that we are the ones that are fighting. It's Jesus working in and through us, and he's done it all already.
This is so good. Earlier on in the chapters in Nehemiah, there were different families that were designated to specific areas of the wall. And so they said, hey, listen, if you are getting overwhelmed and you're getting attacked, if somebody starts rushing in, you blow the trumpets and everybody's going to flood there. You're going to leave your work at the wall and we're going to flood there. So they were taught to listen to where the call is coming from. And as we're a part of a spiritual family, we have to be listening.
Yeah.
Listening to the key words with one another. If we're finding that our brother or our sister or a group of people are worn down and worn out, they're in the thick of the battle, we need to flock to them. We need to rush to them to build up, to gird up, and to support. I saw it so clearly as you were talking there. And those were just my readings this morning.
Awesome.
It's like,
that's
wow, this is it. It is not us. Like, I love the point you made that it is Christ who's gone beyond the veil. He's done the work. But the second part to that is that we're called to be a family. So we have brothers and sisters to support us in these weak moments. Mm-hmm. And you know, you mentioned it, having the sword in your hand. And this, just to pull into what Paul talks about in Ephesians 6, you know, that sword for us is actually going to be the word of
God.
Coming out of our mouths.
Yes.
So when we're in the heat of the battle, it's choosing to either come into agreement and alignment with what the enemy is sharing and trying to shout in your face, or the peace of the word of God.
Yep.
And so when others come around, we got a phone call yesterday on our drive into work, and you know, the person was just saying, hey, listen, please, I need you to come into agreement with me. And that's it. Wherever two agree is touching anything on earth, whatever they ask shall be done by the Father in heaven. Jesus is here. He's present among us, and he's looking for our agreement in the word.
Amen.
So it really is. This is actually wonderful. I'm getting encouraged just as we're talking here.
Me too.
So this is just the outer wall.
Yeah.
This is our place of life, right? Mm-hmm. This is where we have to be careful to allow to come through. What are we allowing to come through?
What's coming in?
So our gates have to be built appropriately. It's very interesting that Nehemiah's heart was broken early on. You see that the gates were burned down. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just thinking about how the enemy will try to come in, and the walls may be established, and fire's not going to take down the walls, but he is going to try to burn down those gates.
Right. And we're kind of going, like, at least my mind mentally is like, we're kind of going in reverse.
We are,
the
actually.
Message because,
I'm sorry.
You know, they weren't observing the Sabbath.
Yes.
And they were having, you know, traders coming in.
Yes.
And Nehemiah's like, nope. And the traders spent the night outside.
Yes. This is, I know, I think because I'm reading early on in Nehemiah, I am going
backwards. I like this reverse. This reverse approach.
It's the way you get in.
Yes.
Because that's the way the enemy will try to come in. He'll try to gain access through a place in our life, the gate of our ear, the gate of our eyes, the gate of our mouth, right?
Our money. Yep.
He will try to get access through some of those gates. And that's where he's ultimately trying to get. So we have here, if we move in now to that temple. This was probably one of the most shocking things to me, you know, putting it all together, is that you have Tobiah. Now, if you hadn't read early on, you're kind of jumping in saying, okay, so what? There's a room for Tobiah. Who cares? You just have to read at the beginning of Nehemiah. It says Tobiah, an Ammonite. Okay, so number one, he wasn't supposed to be among the worshipers of God. So now he's not only in the presence, he's actually in the inner sanctum, in the inner room.
Yes.
There's a special room for him where other supplies are supposed to be. Not only that, but he was actually coming up against the Israelites and encouraging the pagan relationships with bringing in wives for the Israelites. Now, what's really wild is that Ezra ends with all of Israel moving forward with the cleansing of getting rid of the pagan relationships, getting rid of the pagan wives.
Yep.
So to find that Tobiah snuck his way in and actually has a place here so that the worship is not taking place appropriately.
Right. And, you know, like the Ammonites and all of those people groups were ones that the Lord had said that you were to wipe them out.
Yeah.
And I think it's important just to emphasize here, because it can be tough,
I know,
for people when they read the Old Testament, like, wow, God was so bloody and he just, you know, heartless and he wants to wipe these people out. Well, you have to understand what they were doing. A lot of their pagan worship involved sacrificing children, putting them in the fire, a lot of sexual immorality. So there was, their hearts were so against the way of the Lord that in order to keep his people pure, the Lord the Lord wanted them wiped out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Lord always made a way for people to come into his promise, even if they were pagan.
Yeah.
And you see that, you know, the story with of Rahab,
yep.
right at the Battle of Jericho, you know,
yeah.
the spies go in, and then Rahab is a prostitute, but she shelters the spies. And she's like, you know, we have heard about your God, and, you know, I want to be saved. So they make a promise with her and say, like, if you put a scarlet cord in the window, we will save you. And she and her family
yeah.
are saved,
yeah.
and they come into now being part of the children of Israel, and she is actually in the line of Jesus.
Yes, she is.
So that goes to show you how two things are true at once.
Mm-hmm.
The heart of God is to wipe out all evil, all sin,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, he will save anyone whose heart turns towards him. So two things are true at once.
That's really good. I love that you're bringing that up. And again, it does take some Old Testament understanding. You know, you got to go a little bit before Nehemiah and a little bit before Joshua. You have to actually see.
But these are all throughout. You see stories like this all throughout.
Yeah, Ruth. You really do. And you have to understand that in the period of time, those 400 years of slavery for the children of Israel in Egypt, the Lord had already prophesied in Genesis, at the end of Genesis, that he was giving time for the full sin of the Ammonites and the Amorites to actually be mm-hmm. fulfilled. So there was time. There was opportunity.
Yeah.
There were opportunities for these people to turn around.
Yes.
And they wouldn't, and they would refuse. And so, like you're bringing up, that the Lord will always, the New Testament shows us, Jesus says, anyone who comes yeah. to me, I will by no
Absolutely
means
not.
Cast away.
Yep.
I will no way
yep.
cast them away. So you see the heart of God. I love that you're bringing that up, because it is really important that when we're reading the Old Testament, we're understanding that God is not, he's not bipolar, he's
no.
not fractured,
like
he didn't change
like
his mind.
Some people will say, you know, the New Testament is a God of love,
yeah.
and then the Old Testament is a God of hate. It's actually, that's a false
it's
view
true.
Of God.
Very good.
He's the same
yes.
God throughout the
yes,
story.
Yes, he is. It's so good, Luke. This is really important. That's really, really important. And it does take understanding, having revelation of Jesus, to read through the Old Testament and see, God, you really mm-hmm. are the same. You're gracious, you're merciful,
yeah.
you're generous, you're long-suffering.
Yeah.
So I like you bringing up those two things, that two things can be true at the same time. God will want to eradicate
right.
whatever keeps that place of purity. Mm-hmm. And this is where we find ourselves in the temple with Tobiah and having a place there, and you know, Nehemiah just shows up and just starts throwing everything out
yeah.
of the room. And I love this. You know, when we got radically saved, if you go about it this way, when we got radically saved, those of us who really had a revelation of mm-hmm. the Lord, God does something. I know what I did. At 18, I went home. I threw all of my DVDs mm-hmm. out, all of my CDs. I just went nuts, eradicating everything and anything that was an open gate
yep.
for
yep.
the enemy in my heart.
Yep.
You know, and I think the Lord loves that.
Yeah, and I think we go through seasons.
Yes,
like that.
We do.
Yeah.
But there has to be this sense of, wait a minute, not only did this come in through the gate, but it's been occupying a place in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're looking at what's happening here with Tobiah, this cavernous place, this dark space, there's a place that the Lord actually wants worship in. Mm-hmm. There's something that's supposed to be taking
yeah.
place in that chamber of my spiritual heart. And if it's going to something else, the Lord does want to just thrust mm-hmm. it out.
Absolutely.
And he works with us to do so. You see that Nehemiah here is like, hey, listen, I really care. I'm just going to throw it right out on the stoop, you know?
Yeah.
Go and get your stuff. You're mm-hmm. not welcome here anymore, which I love. I
yep.
love.
And, you know, because in those days, that's where the presence of God was, in the temple.
Yeah.
But now in the new covenant, our heart is the temple, because mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. So
yes.
God dwells within us. That's why it's important that we allow the Holy Spirit to examine our heart and show us those places where we're not putting God first.
Mm. Yeah, that's why that point at the beginning of the temple, if Pastor mm-hmm. Zach said, liken the temple to our heart and the walls to our life. And you know, if you read on here, as Pastor Zach brought us through, that Nehemiah began to discover that none of the tithes mm-hmm. were coming in. And so the provision for the Levites wasn't even there. All the worship mm-hmm. was out of order.
Right.
The appropriate place of worship, the appropriate order of worship was out of joint. Mm-hmm. And if you look at your heart, you know, what does the scripture say? What does Jesus say? Where your treasure is, your heart will be. So mm-hmm. your heart will follow whatever yeah. you're treasuring. Mm-hmm. So if you choose to treasure the Lord and treasure your interaction, your worship with mm-hmm. him, your heart is going to follow
Absolutely.
There. And when it yep. does follow, the Lord might reveal a chamber mm-hmm. that actually is belonging to something else.
Yep.
And he'll show you how to cleanse that.
Yep, absolutely. And, you know, a big part of why we even talk about tithing and giving to the church is as you give your money, it reflects your heart.
Mm-hmm.
It reflects, I care about this.
Yeah.
And as you become physically invested by giving your money, you actually will start to care about your church family in a deeper way. And that's one of the gifts of tithing and giving. But you won't experience that until you do it.
Yeah.
Because there is something special, a special affection that comes from actually giving and being obedient in that way.
Yeah. Well, it's so interesting how the Lord has led our conversation in the idea of spiritual family, because it comes mm-hmm. full circle to, again, that treasure of the heart. And if our heart belongs to the Lord and we're treasuring him, he's revealing these areas.
Right.
And whatever we're investing in, we're not going to pull right. away from.
It's also understanding that verse as a, like a first this, then that. Where your treasure is,
yeah.
there your heart will be also.
Yes.
So if you place your treasure in the local church,
mm-hmm.
your heart will then be there.
Yes.
So there will be a love and an affection that grows out of that process.
Yes. And this is so true. Every one of us who has previously been, I don't know how to say this, but before I had received a great level of healing, I was the type of person that could disconnect and reject.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you're the type of person that can disconnect and reject, it is that much harder to do so when you've placed your treasure there in that place, because your heart is going to want to
yes.
follow.
Yes.
So this is where we're not looking for a local assembly of people just coming and going and seeing a show, experiencing something big.
Right.
We are the family of God. We are the body mm-hmm. of Christ. We have a call to one another. In fact, Paul writes in Ephesians 4 that the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry actually makes sure that every joint supplies,
yeah.
looking at the body,
Absolutely.
The physiology,
yep.
every joint
yep.
is supplying the need.
Mm-hmm.
We have a duty and responsibility to one another. And so if we just pull away, you know, there's a fracture, there's a severance that's left. It's
yep.
not healthy.
And there's, God gives us freedom in all of this.
Yes.
So we are free to grow up into this.
Yes.
Like we're growing up in love.
Yes.
So if you want more love, give. And God is patient, and he's going to show you like how to do that. But I say, like, do it real quick. Like, just do it, and God will honor you.
He sure will. That's awesome. Hey, we are already at we're 32 minutes, man. We're in. You have any other final remarks on this week's message?
I think I'm good.
Yeah, I thought it was great. I loved what I was hearing. I want to just quickly point out, because we're halfway through the week, Friday is coming up. Friday nights have been amazing. I've been
youth group?
Yes.
Oh, fantastic.
When I come to pick up both my kids, I've been hearing some amazing things
yeah.
in the middle school as well as the high school.
Mm-hmm.
And this is awesome.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, getting to be there myself,
yeah.
it's always amazing to me, because I have this awareness that it's not us, it's God.
Yeah.
That's doing all of this. And just seeing the kids really take hold of the heart of God, and God honoring that and then showing up inside of them. It is really amazing.
Yeah.
And it's a real gift just to be there.
I was going to say, you know, they've been saying for a while, not here, but just overall, gone are the days of Friday night youth group. And it's just not true here. You're mm-hmm. seeing such a remarkable encounter.
Yeah. Yep.
These young people are hungry and thirsty for the Lord.
Oh, yeah. Like the cool thing
yeah.
at our youth group is to bring your Bible and to get into worship. The standing
awesome.
Off to the side, that's not cool.
Wow.
Like, there might be a few kids that do that, but that's not the majority. So
oh,
like
man.
you're gonna come in and be like, what the heck is going on over here? And then you want more because that's what you see.
So good. Listen, if you got high schoolers, get them here on Friday night. If you got middle schoolers, get them here on Friday mm-hmm. night. I know that I have my younger son. he is just about to come into the middle school group, and that transition will happen in July. So I know that they're excited. The fifth graders are excited to be sixth graders and to jump into middle school. So awesome. Why don't you close us out in prayer, buddy?
Okay. Father, thank you for today. Thank you that you are building us up into a spiritual family.
Yes.
And we pray that we would rest where you've placed us, that we would settle into the wall, that we would be mindful of the other stones around us, and remember that we don't do this alone, but we do this together, and we have peace because of your blood, which brought us peace and also provides us with every tool that we need in the fight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, thank you so much for joining us. My name is Kurt.
And I'm Luke.
That's The Breakdown.
We will see you next week.